This morning's sermon is called John the Baptist Exalts Jesus Christ, Our Lord. From the book of John, chapter 3, verse 22 through 30, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Just a recap before we go through this morning's passage. The Apostle John began this book with saying, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John gets right to the point and says he wants his readers to know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is a Son of God. Jesus is God. He's the second person in the triune Godhead. He identifies Jesus as the Word. The Word is none other than Jesus Christ. This is the most important doctrine of the Christian faith, knowing that Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. The Apostle John, he was led by the Holy Spirit to write this book along with his three epistles, John 1, 2, and 3, and the book of Revelation. John wrote this book as an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He was with the Lord. He was an original apostle. The Apostle John was in his 90s when he wrote this book during the 90s, the first century, 90 AD. He wrote this book 60 years after Jesus had come and gone, but he remembered it. He remembered everything like it was yesterday. Just before John completed this book, he wrote, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written in this book," John 21, 25. John does not mention himself by name. He always writes the other apostle, or he writes the other disciple that Jesus loved. He never writes about himself. So when you see in his book, when he writes John, he's talking about John the Baptist. The Apostle John is also known as the Apostle of Love. The main point of John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. Our passage this morning, the Apostle John is writing about John the Baptist. The Apostle John wrote in the first chapter of this book, he said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," John the Baptist. "This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light," Jesus, "that all through him," John the Baptist, "that they might believe." John the Baptist was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, of Jesus. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, 11, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." High praise from the Lord. John the Baptist wasn't great because he was better, or he was holier, or he was more devoted. He was great because of where God placed him. He would be the forerunner of the coming Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was also great because of the message that he preached. John the Baptist preached about sin. He preached about wicked hearts. He preached about the need of repentance. And he preached about a Savior that we would all need, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All the prophets in the Bible prophesied that the Messiah is coming, but John the Baptist said, "There he is. There he is." John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said to his followers, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." Speaking of him being eternal. John the Baptist was given a job from God to prepare the way for Jesus and then to get out of the way. And that's exactly what John the Baptist did. So let's take a look at our passage this morning. We're going to take a look at verses 22 through 24. The Apostle John wrote, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he, Jesus, remained with them and baptized. Now John the Baptist, also was baptized in an Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison." It says that Jesus and his disciples came to the same area as John the Baptist and were baptizing people. They were baptizing people. We know from the scriptures that Jesus didn't baptize anyone. His disciples were doing the baptisms, right? John the Apostle wrote about this in chapter 4 of this gospel, verse 2. He said, Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. So Jesus and his disciples, they arrive in the same area as John the Baptist and his followers, and they start conducting baptisms. And look what happens next in verse 25 and 26. "Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification, ceremonial washings and baptisms. And they came to John the Baptist, and said, Rabbi, he, Jesus, who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." A dispute arose. John's followers were like, "Hey, John, the guy that you pointed us to, Jesus, the man you said, behold, the Lamb of God, he's baptizing all kinds of people over here. I'm not sure if you know about this, John. And John, more of the people are going to him. And on our home turf, John. What's going on, John?" John's followers were like, Jesus is taking over all our audience. He's taking over our movement, John. He's taken over our ministry. All are going to him, John." A little exaggeration, not all, but most of them were. Same team, and here comes envy, strife, and jealousy. Same team. John's disciples were like, "What is Jesus doing here? What is Jesus doing? He's in our hometown, John. He's in our city. And most are going to him, John." Two groups of saints in the same area, on the same team, and jealousy sits in. Let's take a look at John's response, John the Baptist's response, which is beautiful. Look at verse 27 and 28. "John the Baptist answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness. I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." After reading verse 27, it backs up what Jesus said about John the Baptist. "Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist." We see that right here in verse 27, to why Jesus would say this. John the Baptist had no problem with Jesus taking over, because he had the proper theology. "Hey guys, this isn't about you. This isn't about me. It's about him." Hallelujah. "Hey guys, this ain't about us. It's about him, the one I pointed you to." Backs up everything Jesus said about this man. In other words, John was telling his followers, right, who came to him that were all upset that Jesus was taking over their area. John the Baptist says, fellas, let's put things in perspective. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Wow. In other words, fellas, this is the work of God. This isn't about us. This is about Him. You know what He's telling His followers? Hey, guys, God's in the details. This came down from heaven. John the Baptist understood this. He said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. This is from God. This is the works of God, he's saying. God is sovereign, and no man can receive anything unless it was given to him by God. And one day, those who have been given a ministry will give an account for it. John understood this. He had no problem seeing Jesus take over. This was the goal. This was the goal. You know what John, is telling his followers? He must lead. He must lead. John the Baptist was saying, everything going on over there is the works of God. And everything that we've been able to do over here is the works of God. He puts everything right in perspective with these men who are full of envy, strife, and jealousy. John puts it into perspective. He says, hey, fellas, we didn't earn this ministry. We certainly don't deserve it. He said, God gave it to us. This is from God. Right? We could say the same thing about our church right here, right? Our ministry right here, right? Everything we've been able to do here is because of God. Not me, not you, but God. He's been in the details. He's been working. He's been moving about His Holy Spirit. He's the one who has built everything up. It's all the work of God. And this is what John the Baptist is telling his followers. John the Baptist was telling them, we've been given a ministry by God so He could receive honor. This is the works of God. John the Baptist was like, listen, don't get all upset. We have been blessed by God's grace. We have been called by Him. We've been baptized in thousands of people. We have led thousands of folks. We've had them prepare their hearts to meet the Lord. This is all the works of God. We have been blessed by God's grace. John was telling his followers, this isn't about you. This isn't about me. This is not about you. It's about Him. Again, John the Baptist had the proper theology. We've been blessed by God's grace to have a part in His plan. Amen? We had a part in His plan. Whatever God has given you, plug in and point people to Christ. John the Baptist was totally good with what was going on because he knew that God didn't make any mistakes. He knew God was in the details. You know, there's a common theme here to those who have been born again by God. Their desire to make much of God. Amen? Right? We see that common theme. When God takes out our heart of stone, He gives us a new heart, a new spirit, and He changes us, transforms us into Christ followers, Christ-seeking followers. God does the miracle in our hearts. He pours out His love and grace and mercy into our hearts when we become born again. Let's take a look at verse 29. John the Baptist tells his followers, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Now, what does this mean? John the Baptist used an example of a wedding. He's saying, I'm the best man at the wedding, he says. The bride isn't at the wedding for me. The bride is at the wedding for the groom. Neat how he uses this example, right? He says, I'm just like the best man at a wedding. He says, and before the wedding, I make the preparations. I set everything up. I get everything ready. But when the groom arrives, I fade away. And I take great joy in this because it's all about him. He uses an illustration of a wedding. And he says, and when this takes place, I rejoice to see my best friend, the groom, getting married. I fade away because it's about him. It's interesting how he uses that analogy of a wedding. It's so true. John the Baptist is saying, my job isn't how much I'm exalted. He says, my joy is in how much Jesus Christ is exalted. Right? That's how you feel too as a Christian, right? It's not about exalting ourselves. It's about exalting Christ. This is what John is saying. He says, I rejoice when he is exalted. Again, John the Baptist has the right theology. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. John says, he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. Amen? Very familiar verse, right? He must lead, he must increase, I must decrease. Powerful. He has the right theology. This is all about Jesus Christ, not me. John the Baptist had hundreds of followers. He said, men, women, this isn't about me. This is about Jesus Christ. Go with him. Be with him. Stay with him. Now, during this time, John the Baptist was very popular. He was extremely popular. He was baptizing thousands of people over a year span in the Jordan River. Thousands of people were coming to him to be baptized. That's where he gets his name. John the Baptist, right? Makes sense, right? John the Baptizer, right? This is where he gets his name. He had such a movement. He had such a ministry. He was so popular. His followers were part of this ministry. And he has to tell them, hey, this isn't about us. This isn't about me. It's about him. Keep your eyes up on him. He tells, follow him and stay with him. John was more concerned about God getting the glory than himself. We can learn a lot here in this lesson, huh? You know what John the Baptist is saying? Hey, guys, it's got to be more of him and less of me. It's got to be more of him and less of me. It's powerful. You know what John the Baptist is telling his followers? Don't put your faith in me. Put all your faith in him. This is about him. This backs up exactly why Jesus said he is the greatest prophet that ever lived. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great example of what it means to be humble and obedient. He was a great example. But do you know who the best example of being humble and obedient was? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was the greatest man that walked this earth, the most humble man and the most obedient man that ever walked this earth. If you brought your Bible with you, before we close, I want to share this passage with you concerning this. Go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'll let you get there for a minute. I'm not sure what page is a pew Bible there. What page is that? 1803. That was fast to find that. Boy, it's not about being in church, sitting in a pews and hearing the scriptures. Huh? That just brings peace to me. That warms my heart to hear scriptures in church. God's word. I'll give you guys a half hour if you want. I just love the sound of that. Scriptures. Pages. Philippians chapter 2, I want to read verse 5 through 8 with you. This is how humble and obedient Jesus is. Verse 5, it says, Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. You know what that is, right? That's a servant by choice. Right? That's what we are. We're bondservants of Christ. We came to Christ willingly. He didn't make us. We came. A bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the greatest example of what it means to be humble and obedient. Look at this, verse 6, right? Jesus, whom being in the form of God, being God himself, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus, being God himself, God the Son, God in the flesh, did not find it robbery to be equal with God, the Father, but made himself of no reputation. You know what that means? He made himself nothing. Other Bible translations say he emptied himself when he came to save us. Here's Jesus being God, God in the flesh. Listen, same deity, same power, same divine nature as God the Father. And he humbled himself to come save us, obedient to the Father's will. And he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, the Father, made himself no reputation. Unbelievable. Just think about that. He took on the appearance of a man, but was sinless. God himself in the flesh. Became completely human, but without sin, being fully God and fully man, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient, listen to this, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Amen. He humbled himself, he was obedient to the Father's will, all to come and save you and me. To save you and me. He humbled himself. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly into our hearts this morning, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us stay focused on you. With all these distractions going on in the world and the devil trying to attack us, protect us, Lord, and help us stay focused on you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.